Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store or a snarky boutique, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
Welcome to another edition of Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, it's Robert Craig. All right, Robert, well, we are speaking Friday afternoon, moments after Ryan Care, Trump Care, or Don't Care, whatever you want to call it, failed to not get enough votes to get a vote. Your thoughts?
Well, it's been quite a week, and there was tremendous amount of protest and Democratic engagement going on that shined a light on all this. Though I hear Mark Belling, the right-wing talk show host on the air, saying that protests had nothing to do with it, that this was all a Republican problem. But I think this would have all happened easily in the dead of night if it hadn't been for the light that was shined on this whole process. And you had this weird situation where conservative Republicans ran on cheaper health care and more choice, but then came up with this god-awful bill that ended up getting worse and worse. I mean, by the end, in order to try to get Freedom Caucus votes, Sly, they were getting rid of essential health benefits, which is a backdoor way of not only allowing substandard lemon health policies don't cover anything, but re-legalizing pre-existing condition discrimination because they could just create policies that didn't cover any expensive ongoing care that people with major chronic conditions would have, and would also re-legalize lifetime and annual limits. So we were going back to the worst of before the Affordable Care Act, and there was amazing brinksmanship, as you know. President Trump demanded there be a vote when it didn't go forward Thursday, on Friday, on Thursday night. Then today, Paul Ryan went over to the White House and told him he didn't have the votes, and he told him to proceed. And then they pulled the plug about 20 minutes before the vote. So I think they're coming back, but I don't know how exactly. Trump said in his press conference that we're just going to have to ride out Obamacare now and that he's not going to focus on health care for now. So we'll see. I know they can't give up. They've told their base they're repealing the Affordable Care Act, but this was an amazing train wreck and really unprecedented for the beginning of a presidential term, really, to have a president face this big a defeat this early in his administration.
Well, wait a minute. Donald Trump said the vote was going to go forward. All right, here's a man who was using a certain level of brinksmanship. This vote is going to go forward, and those of you that don't vote for it are going to pay the price, and then you're going to have to live with it. All right? Why did he pull it? I mean, this is a man who's macho and never concedes and is at least he put his name on the book, Art of the Deal, even though he really didn't write it. I mean, this is a man that hates failure and losers. Why would they chicken out?
Well, he also has in his business career certainly a history of cutting and running as well, right? Abandoning failing casinos, declaring bankruptcy on various corporate entities that he's created. So he does seem willing to pull the plug. I guess at the end of the day, I don't know if he really planned to go through with it and lost his nerve, or whether he planned to pull it all along, but wanted to try to see if they could coerce the final few votes in order to get this over the top. But for whatever reason, he decided that an actual defeat on the floor of a very Republican House of Representatives was too much to tolerate, and so they pulled it. But hard to know what, I mean, he's not someone who thinks about long-term strategy that much. He's much more seat-of-the-pants, gut kind of, you know, negotiator and operator, really, is the right word. And so it's unclear, for example, he gave Paul Ryan a vote of confidence this afternoon.
Uh-oh.
But as you know, it's like Major League Baseball or any other sport. That's usually the kiss of death.
I was just going to say, your beloved Cub managers year after year got votes of confidence, too.
No, exactly. And now it'd be Bears coaches.
That's yeah, well, as a Brewer fan, I've seen a few come and go myself. All right, so I think this is just, this is stunning that they didn't figure out that they had these deep internal problems. It is true that people really showed up in town halls, even in very conservative places, and expressed their concern. And I get a feeling a lot of those people weren't all that terribly political. Let me play just a little bit of some of the clips we have of Americans speaking out against Ryan Care or Trump Care or Don't Care.
I went to school with your kids. Your wife was our school nurse.
Yeah, she still is.
Awesome. I'm no longer my school nurse, though. Yeah.
You're more than 18.
I am.
Yeah.
I have a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And a spinal condition. Huh. And when I was first diagnosed, I was kicked off my insurance because pre-existing conditions were out.
Yeah.
And saying I support this is not good enough. I need you as a human being to say, I promise that we will not take this away from you.
I can tell you. I promise.
I've got a husband dying and we can't afford. Let me tell you something. If you can get us better coverage than this, go for it. Let me tell you what we have. Plus a lot of benefits that we need. We have $29 per month for my husband. Can you beat that? Can you?
10 years ago, my wife had 2 open heart surgeries. She now lives with 2 artificial valves in her heart. She is on a great deal of medication, and the ACA helps us to get that medication. If you cancel the ACA without putting a viable alternative in there on my fixed income, we will not be able to afford the medication that she now takes, and she will die.
My wife,
her name is Judy. J-U-D-Y, same last name, E-N-E-R-S-O-N. If you vote to cancel the ACA and you see her name in an obituary, shame on you.
Without the medication, I can't work and pay taxes and pay insurance premiums. I can't raise 2 children to be productive citizens. I can't do a thing. In fact, by now, I would be dead. So I want to know from you, sir, if you will support the provisions of the Affordable Care Act that protect people like me from being thrown into a lottery system, such as a high-risk pool, and not being guaranteed receiving any insurance at all, and will protect my children and my husband from going bankrupt to keep me alive under circumstances that none of us chose.
Thank you for your
time. Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so heartfelt, and it's not the ideological stuff you hear from the other side, kind of an alt reality. It's actually lived human experience. And I think that's coming through, and I think people understand that with how expensive medical services are in our country, how expensive health coverage is, that not just low-income people, middle-class people, even upper-middle-class people can't afford it on their own. If they don't have good insurance at work, what else are they going to do? And so we had released research this week, slide, that showed that on average, and it's worse than a lot of Wisconsin cities, a Wisconsin 64-year-old at a moderate income would be asked under the Ryan plan to pay $11,500 a year over that for premiums alone. I mean, nearly half their income. And of course, that means they're going to go uninsured. That didn't include copays and deductibles. And so I think this was sinking in that who would write a plan like this and call it a healthcare plan?
Now, these have been people that are currently getting their insurance because of the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, exactly. So people in their 60s, exactly. And they would pay about $1,500 a month premium, different city to city, under the Affordable Care Act, and then $11,500 more than that under the Ryan plan. And so, and once you look at a number like that, you just realize that Paul Ryan didn't give a darn about these people having insurance, right? That a moderate income, and they discriminate in their plan against lower income people and against older people. In fact, the Democrats took to calling it an age tax today, which was interesting, on the House floor. And if you caught any of the House debate all day today, because we were waiting for the vote and following all the news about it, and I was talking to reporters as well during all of this, speculating. But the Republicans were completely ideological and just kept asserting over and over again that the Affordable Care Act was unaffordable and deductibles were too high and it was a disaster and had to go away. But virtually no analysis or defense of the actual terms of their replacement plan. It was stunning.
It's actually my understanding calls were running 48-1 against this bill.
And there was something the Democrats did that was very clever, because, you know, in a House debate, there's a floor manager for each side, and they alternate between each side, speech to speech. And every time a Republican, and only Republicans speaking were the ones that were for it, so it didn't include the opponents, right? Democrat would announce how many people would lose their coverage in that district, and then turn to the Democratic speaker. And the Republicans started getting very defensive about that and started referring to it as alternative facts or false statements. This is like the standard numbers that are all derived from the Congressional Budget Office. These are not some sort of bizarre number at all. These are facts.
So let me ask you about some of the other particulars. My sister, you know, gets her her coverage, you know, through Medicaid. She gets coverage through Medicaid and mental health coverage and that sort of thing. What would this have done to people that get coverage now for mental health care?
Well, it would do two different things. And of course, people move back and forth between being Medicaid eligible or just being eligible for subsidies because people's incomes go up and down, right? But this thing had radically restructured Medicaid. So, and literally, it was not entirely clear what cuts would be made because it would be left to the states. They had this monstrosity called a per capita cap, but then they offered states in the manager's amendment the ability to do block grants instead of per capita caps. But they're all mechanisms to pull trillions of dollars over time out of the Medicaid system. And, of course, that's going to force states to make massive cuts somewhere, or either in Medicaid or in education, or to drastically raise taxes to pay more, because it's just pulling the federal commitment out from under the states. And so what choices states were going to make once that happened is going to be different state to state based on who's in charge. But they absolutely would have played off children against seniors and people with disabilities with long-term care, people who have mental health issues and need mental health care, all of that. And so you can't tell exactly how it would have affected her, but it would not have been good. I mean, you can't take that amount of money out of the system and not, like, dramatically cut coverage, quite frankly. But if she was on the private marketplace buying insurance, the final deal they made to try to woo the so-called Freedom Caucus, we shouldn't call it the actual Freedom Caucus, was to get rid of all essential health benefits, the regulations of what medical coverage has to be included in health insurance plans, which Republicans call mandates. Well, the mandates mean that it actually covers all the parts of the human body and mental health and all the things that we would need in all the stages of life. And so one of those essential health provisions is mental health. So we could have policies that not only that didn't have parity or might even not even cover mental health care.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I've been wanting to ask you about this. I created quite a bit of a dust-up in Madison a number of years ago. I know that's going to come as a shock to you.
Very shocking.
But yeah. I went after Woodman's for getting rid of their mental health care coverage for their employees. And they complained that a law had been passed during the Bush administration that was for mental health care parity. And they were complaining about that, which is, of course, absurd. All that law said was that if you're going to provide insurance for your employees, that mental health care, your brain, your most important part of your body, be included in the coverage. So they got mad and they dumped it. Well, George W. Bush signed that. Paul Ryan voted for that. How can he say that he was for mental health care parity and then do this to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, they were in a bind. They were trying to get votes, right? And that's one thing. The other thing, quite frankly, is that they're in a bind because the health insurance was going to be much more expensive than the Affordable Care Act for most people. And so what the one way to reduce premiums, if you're not going to actually do something to reduce the price of medical care or to have more people buying in so that you can spread the risk and make premiums lower, then you can hollow out the coverage, right? So it's like saying, I'm going to give you a cheaper car, but the car is going to be horrendous. It's going to be a Yugo, if you know what I mean, and it's going to fall apart when you're driving on the highway. And so, but then you can say the premium is lower, right? And so this was going to be their mechanism for lowering premiums, but, you know, no, it's all like salesmanship. There's no regard for the fact that it's dangerous to have a health insurance policy that doesn't cover all parts of the human body, and it's dangerous not to actually parallel medical science. Medical science now says that mental health is as much a medical thing as physical health, period. So there should be no distinction whatsoever, right? But if it's a selling their bill, then they want to do it, and they want to call it freedom. They keep saying, and Secretary Tom Price, Trump's Health and Human Services Secretary, keeps saying that we're all different and we might need different coverage. Well, the fact is we all have hearts, we all have livers, we all have brains, and we all have mental conditions, right? Well, we're all possibly vulnerable to substance use. Those all apply to all human beings. So it's an absurd proposition altogether that this is some kind of choice. And here's the thing, Fly. The idea that a consumer could figure out, I mean, including a healthcare expert, including me, could figure out if insurance companies could write policies any old way they wanted, right, that you can figure out what it covers and doesn't cover. And in fact, that's all going to be interpretation after the fact when you make the claim and deal with their claims departments and their lawyers. Their business is to figure out how to pay as little as possible, and they're going to structure the policies to do that. And that's not going to empower consumers and give them freedom. It's going to make them completely subservient and completely at the mercy of insurance companies who are trying to get maximum profit at the direction of Wall Street.
And insurance companies, of course, became, you mentioned Wall Street, became much worse when they demutualized, and they became beholden to Wall Street.
Which absolutely
created some of the healthcare crisis in the first place. They were spending less and less and less and less every year on healthcare,
and they want to spend less and less and less. And part of the idea of the Affordable Care Act that didn't work, partly because it wasn't strong enough, was that we were trying to wean the insurance industry of their completely immoral practice of figuring out how to profit by only insuring healthy people and throwing sick people at the side of the road. And so a lot of what happened to the Obamacare marketplaces was insurance companies figuring out how to find the healthy people somewhere else and dump the sick people there and then to abandon that market. And so we could have forbidden all of that. We could have actually said, I mean, this will be shock of horrors from conservatives. Why don't we say if you want to be chartered as a corporation to sell insurance in this country, you have to sell insurance on the individual market, on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, period. Why are we letting Aetna decide to pull out to punish the federal government for not allowing it to merge with Humana, which is now a documented fact, is what happened, why they pulled out.
And let me steer this, since you just mentioned that. This whole notion that, I can't remember whether it was, and by the way, I do think one thing Ted Cruz said that was kind of clever, is the bucket number one, bucket number two, and bucket number three. I thought we were playing, I kind of felt like we're on the grand prize game with Bozo. It was kind of clever the way he put it. But this whole notion of some sort of panacea from selling insurance across state lines, that somehow is going to bring competition into the marketplace and reduce costs. Explain why that's a bad idea.
Yeah, and we did a press release on that in part yesterday before the vote, because in response to our study on how much more a moderate income senior would pay in each city in Wisconsin, Joe Sanfilippo, the state representative, said, it'll be cheaper because they'll be able to buy across state lines.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing with this. The only way it works, they claim it's going to be competition, it'll bring prices down. You know, insurance companies, the main price in insurance is not the insurance company, actually. It's what deal they can cut with the big health systems like Aurora, right, UW Health, and all the others across the state, Marshfield, Mayo, right? And so, and if you can't get a cheaper price from them, you're not going to be able to dramatically reduce the cost of insurance. And so the canard here is that somehow some cut-rate insurance company in Mississippi can cut a better deal with Aurora, right, the huge health system conglomerate here in eastern Wisconsin, up and down the lake, than the incumbent companies can do. The fact is they can't. So what could they do, potentially? Well, they could sell cut-rate insurance that didn't cover anything, right? and literally left you high and dry and bankrupt and not having anything to cover your medical bills.
And so, that they would incorporate, say, in Mississippi or
where there was less regulation and they didn't have to cover it.
Or the way things are going, Wisconsin.
Right. Oh, absolutely true. But here's the thing, right? A number of states have tried this, and guess what? No companies do it. There's research that says that they don't want to sell across state lines. You know why? Because it's so difficult to negotiate deals with all the big hospitals that it literally isn't even worth their while. So it won't happen, is the point. It's not a real solution. It's one of those things that pollsters come up with that sounds good. Oh, we can just say that, and that's our answer. It's not something that's going to be scored by the Congressional Budget Office as reducing premiums. Of course, they don't want to listen to the Congressional Budget Office unless it happens to agree with them on a point. Then it's a great source, right? And so, really, this is either dangerous insurance or it's nothing, because insurance companies aren't even really interested in selling across state lines.
Let me finally ask you about tort reform. And I love it when right-wing callers to right-wing radio stations repeat the slogan tort reform and how tort reform is some sort of panacea. Tort reform is short, in fact, for taking away your rights to ever have any grievance against a doctor or a hospital, right?
Right. And it makes healthcare more dangerous because there's no accountability. These guys like markets except for accountability, right? And so it's not a high percentage of cost of medical care. That's been well established. So the idea that that not allowing lawsuits in case of wrongful death, right, where literally a doctor is killing someone by negligence, right, that doesn't cost us a lot of money. In fact, in Wisconsin, it costs us very little. We have a medical compensation fund that has over $1 billion in it, which covers the costs. But on top of that, right, it makes medicine much, much less safe. And so people just haven't read enough John Gresham novels, right? I mean, the trial lawyers are the people who are actually willing to go and fight for the little guy who's been wronged by a big, powerful institution. And in fact, I kind of like hanging out with trial lawyers for that reason, because they all have great war stories about taking on these kind of institutions. So it's, again, one of those little ideological things that is about disempowering average people. So they say they're about freedom, but they literally want people to have no recourse if their mother, their aunt, their child is literally maimed or killed by negligence of a medical provider. And in fact, if you don't have that, as I say, it makes medicine much less more dangerous, because when the accountability actually causes a lot more caution and professional care, in my opinion.
So these people that are in the Freedom Caucus, and by the way, I see Glenn Grothman was, folded for Paul Ryan just like that. We thought that Glenn Grothman might be a bit of a troublemaker out in Washington, and boy, he's been sort of just a Ryan lackey, hasn't he?
He was the only one I heard, and I had to stop listening from time to time, that actually centered his one-minute speech on how this is gutting Medicaid, and that's a good thing because Medicaid's too expensive. And so most of the others had the decency not to point that part out, right? They talked about modernizing Medicaid. He was all like, it is great, it cuts Medicaid. I'm like, okay. He also told reporters that it would pass about mid-afternoon. That started blowing up on Twitter.
Oh, really good.
So that turned out, he shows he's not actually in touch with the process either. He's pretty much a backbencher.
So finally, the Freedom Caucus, they really do have a... there's a lot of hucksters in all this, and there are a lot of people playing games. But those members of the Freedom Caucus really, honestly, ideologically believe that we can create some sort of market system where this is Walmart competing against Target, competing against Shopko, competing against whatever. They really honestly believe that just you need to strip the government completely out of healthcare and just let it run like merchandising. Why is that wrong?
Well, because it's not like a flat-screen TV where you can do a web search and find the exact same model and find out exactly what the shipping cost is, what it costs, et cetera, right? It's not like that. In fact, the prices are not transparent in the least. The best research on this says that only 7% of medical services are shoppable. That is, where the consumer can know the price and can compare price and value the way you can on a computer printer, flat screen TV, what have you. So it's one of those things where it's a metaphor that makes a certain amount of sense, and we know we humans understand things by comparing unfamiliar things to familiar things, and so we're used to shopping, so we go, let's make it like shopping, right? So that makes a certain amount of common sense until you actually think of how medical care takes place. I mean, the idea that you're having a stroke or a heart attack and you can shop, right, is ridiculous, and in fact, most other medical services are that way. If you're getting a colonoscopy, good luck shopping for the best price and the best value colonoscopy, right? And so that's just, it's just, I mean, it's not going to do anything. But here's the thing about the Freedom Caucus slide that's really interesting. That is, they've created a monster in the sense that there's a lot of corporate backers of conservatism that benefit from conservatism who've created true believers who actually believe this stuff. So there's no wink, wink, nod, nod here, right? These guys actually believe it.
They're all in. They are all in.
And so Paul Ryan can't come and say, well, you know, guys, we have to get this done. And no, it's not really going to cover everyone, but it's going to pursue our tax agenda, and we're going to get government out of this, and we don't, so let's just do this. No, they're just like, no. They're like, absolutely. They, at the end, according to a lot of reports, why, not only were they not satisfied with getting rid of essential benefits, that is the things health care has to cover, they wanted pre-existing condition discrimination itself directly taken out. And
as did,
so it's amazing.
As did Vicky McKenna.
That's amazing, too. I mean, and by the way, devastating for them, because pre-existing condition discrimination is kind of the metaphor for what was wrong with the old healthcare system for average people. People feel viscerally about it because they see it as a really a fundamental violation of freedom, as a gross violation. And so these guys being for that, and I think they've created an opening here where the last offers Ryan made are really, really damaging and really, really can be used to really motivate a lot of independent voters and even a lot of Republican voters to turn away in horror at what they're trying to do.
Robert Craig, Citizen Action in Wisconsin, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Sly. It's always a pleasure.
Slysoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Slysoffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.